This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in this studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvind Braj.
You've got about 15 minutes of our pleasant company to keep you through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The question that we're asking you today is: should the COVID-19 vaccine be made compulsory for employees? Why or why not? There's a raging debate happening over in the UK right now about whether companies can legally insist that incoming staff be vaccinated before being confirmed for employment. Just a few minutes ago, we heard from Deepa George, the managing consultant over at the HR clinic. We got her take on things. We wanted to get your opinions on this and your numbers to take part in the polls over on Instagram and Twitter. Not much movement on the polls, though. I see the number is pretty much the same over on Twitter. 82% of you saying yes. I'm guessing around the same over on Instagram, too. And for those of you that want to take part in the conversation over on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Let's get on to our final story of the day, though, while you guys are still thinking about which side of that coin you want to be on.
So sticking with vaccine news, a very interesting article from NBCnews.com, and it's about why big tech isn't dominating the vaccine rollout. Because big tech, over the last 10 years, they've been in everything, right? Every small opportunity that they can get, you see like a tech company or tech giant getting involved and doing something, finding a way to sort of have their brand stamped on any one of these campaigns, right? Which, you know, good or bad, that's a different debate. But many Americans have asked why big tech can't run the vaccination operation. If Amazon can deliver a phone charger in 2 days, why can't it use its logistical powers to speedily vaccinate a nation? With all the data that Google collects about its users, why can't it track down and identify who needs a vaccination? Which are legit questions.
Absolutely.
Good questions. That's largely because when it comes to getting a phone charger delivered, a company like Amazon handles every step of the process, from taking the order to delivery and the entire thing. But when it comes to vaccine distribution, tech companies have learned that they have far less control. So the government is heavily involved. You have the medical scene that's heavily involved as well. So one person said that you're trying to vaccinate 300 million plus people in the US, and that's the biggest effort of our lifetime. An example is in Iowa, it took just 1 week for the state to cancel its contract with Microsoft to run its vaccination booking system because it was too difficult even for a tech giant like Microsoft to combine the patchwork of existing digital infrastructure across 99 counties.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a huge web. And other tech companies are carving out their place in the vaccine rollout in different ways. Uber and Lyft have offered free rides to and from vaccination appointments, which is good. Google and Verizon are helping pay for advertisements promoting vaccine awareness. Google and Apple have participated in discussions surrounding possible vaccine passports. We've spoken about that before, but have not announced any concrete plans. So going back to the government, Biden's team is currently in talks with Amazon about how the company can assist with the president's national vaccination program. And I think Amazon was also talking to them about getting their people vaccinated and then sort of like doubling as frontliners and, right, and helping with the logistics and stuff. But the whole thing, like even Microsoft's involvement is meeting mixed results because Microsoft's website rollout was always crashing as recently as this month. So even though they put up platforms to get people to register and sort of like send people to the right clinics and stuff, it constantly kept crashing on itself. Other states have also attempted to set up a shared portal for vaccination signups, but those sites reach limited populations. So there are large groups of people in parts of the US that cannot be reached by any sort of tech. They have no internet connection, no communication, no smartphones. And even the government and big tech are finding it difficult to get to those populations, like large segments. Public health experts say that these challenges are not necessarily big tech's fault. Tech companies are caught between how state and county health departments set up vaccination signups because some systems focus on vaccinating as many people as possible, but other public health departments are focused on vaccinating overlooked elderly, minority, and low-income populations who have less reliable internet access. So some places do like, we're just doing it by, you know, like lock stock, and some people are like, some people deserve it more than others. It ends on an interesting note because it says that public health officials note that regardless of how well tech companies create vaccination sign-up websites, there are some crucial populations that they will never reach, and it goes back to volume versus equity. And I think that, you know, I picked this and I thought this was interesting because, like I said, over the last 5 years, we've spoken about how big tech has evolved like rapidly, like made huge strides. Like you can't even keep track or keep tabs on what it's doing when. And I think like this has sort of pointed out some weaknesses. It's a task that even big tech is struggling to keep up with. Like they don't know how to use technology to map people, to find people, or detect like who needs what and where goes where, what goes where. So it's I don't know. For me, it was just interesting to see like, you know, it you take like 5 steps forward, but then you get knocked a couple of steps back.
But it also highlights that sometimes, you know, big tech and future tech is not the way of doing things, you know, like the usefulness of the postal service, for example, you know, something that we still rely on nowadays. You know, how nice does it feel when you get an actual letter through the post box, you know, not your utility bill so much, but, you know, when you actually, but stuff like that, where, for example, in the UK, when an election is coming around, you know you're always going to get leaflets. And the reason that you always get leaflets is because they know they can guarantee those leaflets will be delivered to you. The postal service has been established for hundreds of years in the UK. They know where people live. There's a register of people who live at that address. And so, yeah, big tech can do most things, but it can't do that almost last mile thing sometimes, you know?
Is it weird that I'm a little bit comforted by the idea that big tech isn't this like all-powerful monolith?
I know what you mean.
And that there are still places where you can avoid them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a way, it's not particularly helpful that they're not as helpful as we think, right, for the vaccine rollouts. But there is a small part of me that's just like, oh, so they're not, you know, like these massive superpowers that can do anything and listen to our thoughts. And you know, but I will say that it's an interesting question to bring up. And it's a good article. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like the illusion of big tech is sort of, it's changed because of this. And it was something,
it's
shattered
really, now a
little
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact that the Microsoft website was crashing as they were trying to deal with this kind of, you know.
That's pretty shocking.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, as much as some people here have kind of condemned some of our services in terms of, you know, the apps that we've been using and how difficult it has been to cope with that volume, it's not just here that it's happened. You know, it's happened in the US. It's happened everywhere. Nothing like this has ever happened before. So I think, you know, a little bit of a round of applause for the people that helped develop the app. You know, now we're on the ball. Things are working. Now, with that said, we're going to wrap up for the day. And, of course, we still have a couple of messages. Oh, I've actually got a message here on WhatsApp from T.H. Lim. He said, hi, guys. My vote is no. It shouldn't be mandatory for employers when employing staff or even existing staff. Thanks very much for your input there.
And in the story, we have one last response. T06EKS says, responsibility over personal liberty, and then the scales emoji.
Right. Yeah. Good point. But there you go. Final numbers over on Twitter.
82.1% for yes and 17.9% for no.
Okay, so we're at the end of the show. And of course, the topic we've been discussing is whether or not the COVID-19 vaccine could and should be made compulsory for employees. Why or why not? They're the final numbers. This is because of the debate that's raging on whether companies over in the UK can legally insist that incoming staff be vaccinated before confirmed for employment. That was Christine's story of the day. We then moved on to what Twitter are helping to tackle the COVID-19 vaccine misinformation.
Then we finished with where is big tech in the global vaccine rollout?
They're behind the postal service. Now, they're all the stories that we covered for today. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast and have a listen back at your leisure. Use the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play, and it's free. If you can't do that, get us on Spotify or head over to the website at bfm.my. Music to take us out from the Cranberries with Dreams, but don't forget coming up after the 1 o'clock news. It's a Breakfast Grill replay. Reliable and trustworthy information is crucial for any decision making. We've been talking about that. Whether that's governments drafting policies or civil society casting ballots. And in Malaysia, the Department of Statistics is the keeper of data related to national economic performance, social development. So the Breakfast Grill spoke with Dato Sri Dr. Mohamed Uzia Mahidin, the chief statistician of Malaysia, about the integrity of this information, the take-up of the National Census 2020, as well as the department's role in national development. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and, of course, Christian Wong, this has been Enterprise BizBytes. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for BFM 89.9. 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.